Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Hi, friends.
And Brian Brushwood. My favorite part of the show, Brian, is when you do the countdown and then point.
Oh, dude, I felt bad because I was just like, why do I have to count down every time? Why don't we just go? Just say
it's
go.
It's part of the whole ceremony. It's the ritual.
That's true. Fair enough. I apologize. I'll never miss it again.
Thank you, Brian. What famous physicist did you guys have dinner with Friday night?
I had famous physicist Justin Robert Young, renowned for his ability to show up in Austin at my house from time to time.
Yeah, and I met renowned physicist Brian's daughter, Penny Brushwood, who was very much excited about the garden she's growing.
Well, that actually is pretty cool. Well, glad you asked, guys. I have, thanks to my friend Maurice Newman via the Magic Castle. Maurice is one of these people that every Friday night or Friday afternoon at the Magic Castle, we sit around this table at lunch and, you know, I listen to him and other people with just great, amazing stories. And Maurice is a pretty well-connected guy. He actually arranged for Stephen Hawking to become a lifetime member of the Magic Castle.
Wow.
And Hawking has been there and may come back at some point. He's also friends with Kip Thorne. So he invited me to have dinner with Kip Thorne, his wonderful wife, and their friends on Friday night. And Kip Thorne, physicist who inspired Interstellar, all that. It was really, really awesome.
So how does casual conversation emerge in that situation?
I wouldn't know. I'm sure I was very stiff and awkward. You know, the famous wormholes, that's really cool.
Now, Kip Thorne got on my radar probably most notably because of Interstellar. What was Kip Thorne's status before he got kind of the pop celebrity of the film press talking to and about him?
He was the guy that if you're into physics and you're into science fiction and anytime you looked up stuff on wormholes and things like that, he's the guy whose stuff was interesting because he was doing some very interesting theoretical stuff saying maybe you could do cool stuff with wormholes if you could make them real and whatever. And so, you know, he holds the Feynman chair, held the Feynman chair at Caltech, which is, you know, about the most prestigious thing in the world I can think next to the Sir Isaac Newton chair. You know, he's a contemporary of he's actually
what
portrayed.
About Sir Science Sing?
He actually is portrayed by an actor in Theory of Everything because he's known Stephen Hawking for years and has worked on things with him and gone back and forth on different ideas and stuff. So he's, you know, this is a guy that's a contemporary to Stephen Hawking, student of Feynman, et cetera. So, you know, he has a very incredible legacy. But I think wormholes are particularly the thing that makes him for, you know, the geeky crowd like ourselves the most interesting about that. And he's just a super nice guy. He's a very, very cool guy.
And there was also, you know,
and because I had dinner with him, I'm now cool too. Just
I mean, first of all, the coolness was always inside you, Andrew. He just showed you a mirror and saw how cool you are on the inside. You know, Interstellar, which, by the way, we just watched, you know, for Mother's Day. Penny wanted her Mother's Day gift to be, you know, for her to watch a movie about a dad leaving a daughter. But at any rate,
talk about spiking the football. It's like everybody make me breakfast in bed. Like, and then also let's understand how much better moms are than dads.
Man, it's funny. Interstellar, again, preemptive pick, watching it a second time, especially knowing everything in there, and watching it from the perspective of, I mean, it even had our 7-year-old enraptured, you know, midway through. She was like, finally just all the way in. So very much enjoyed that.
It's when it first came out, my reaction was that, you know, there are things, and the science, I had no problem with it at all. I didn't, you know, to, we could get pedantic, but then these are about things we don't know. And by the way, I'm going to pull up a really cool thing for us to tweet out or put out. I love it more and more every time I see it. I knew that would be the case. It has its own language of how it wants to tell the story. The music, the score, and the visuals are incredible. And
by the way, the music I noticed much, much more this second time. This haunting, just pressure of the organ. You know, it's like there's something unstoppable about it, and that's terrifying and lonely. Much like The Journey. I mean, I really dug it.
There's the only comparison I can remember is in the Charlton Heston movie Omega Man, which was based on I Am Legend by Richard Matheson. They use some really cool kind of, you know, the 70s sort of organ music, which has its own sort of powerful sort of way. But yeah, it's going to be one of those movies that years to come people will look back on it like, oh, it needs to make it like kind of Interstellar in this way or that.
Well, and also I think, you know, part of it is, you know, for whatever people latched onto, and probably the two biggest criticisms were people who wanted to get very, very picky about the science, and people who were attacking either the motivations or writing around or acting of Anne Hathaway's character. That, I think, just sort of dissolves beyond the real, like, majesty that is kind of like Nolan's big budget filmmaking. Like, it's really hard, no matter what you think of it, it's so hard to not just take a look at it, understand that the storytelling, if not as great as you might want it to be, is always competent. And the production of it is just so awesome, you can't help but sort of lose yourself in it.
And plus also, Interstellar is sort of in that I don't want to say the mushy middle, or that difficult, uncanny valley between something like Gravity has a very specific game they're playing. They're like, we want to base everything in the known science and the known reality of what it is if, you know, when you encounter debris in space. Then you got something like, you know, that's 2001, that's borders on science fiction fantasy, or, you know, not so far as like epic space fantasy like Star Wars, but 2001, it's like there's a black box. We can make up whatever rules we want on the inside because it's not real physics. But then Interstellar, you know, wants to give a little bit of that black box experience, which I think they do in a fascinating way with this Tesseract 3D, you know, model of five-dimensional space. But with the trappings of enough of the reality, the known science part of the science fiction. And you know, personally, I think that Interstellar was every bit as epic and visionary and sweeping and emotional and haunting and terrifying as 2001 was for my dollar.
You know, and a thing about Interstellar that I think it's lost is Nolan was exploring some themes. There are several themes in there that just usually always go one way in science fiction. His humans and how are humans and robots going to interact? And you know, I couldn't hear it in the theater because of the sound, but as they're launching, you know, the robot says to them, says, you know, are you guys all ready to be slaves in my robot colony?
Yeah.
You know, and the idea that these robots are smarter than us, but they don't have a purpose without us.
Exactly. They're smarter than us, but they clearly live and exist only to serve. And that is very likely the reality. I mean, if the robots take over, they only take over insofar as, you know, nursing home doctors take over the lives of old people, you know,
by taking care of them. But, you know, but I thought that was a very interesting to say, how will we be interacting with these intelligent agents there in the future? And I describe it more as like they don't have a purpose without us, not that they exist necessarily to serve us, you know, which you know, it may be splitting hairs, but, you know, the difference is sort of like, well, turn me on. Okay, I'm going to sit here. Go do this. Well, okay, I'll do that. Other than that, I can just sit here, you know, versus muhaha, mustache twirling robot. That was interesting. The idea that the extremely humanist, you know, humanist message in the truest sense of the word, that stuff may get bad. We are going to solve these things. And humanity's faced crises in the past. You know, there was a period, you know, when there were just, you know, maybe 10,000 Homo sapiens trapped in a narrow band of land in Africa, you know, between barren areas during climate events. and almost died out. We almost died out. We can trace our genetics to this one particular bottleneck.
You know what? One of my early gripes with Interstellar was, we've all read books like The Rational Optimist about how, you know, basically humanity's record is 1,000 and 0, you know. And so it was really hard for me in the theater to swallow this utterly despairing, no, we didn't even go to the moon. Let's not even pretend like that's a thing or whatever. But watching it a second time, I was able to buy it, especially because I think when I watched it the first time, I was afraid that that was the main course I was being fed, is yeah. that humanity gives up or whatever. But watching it a second time, knowing that this is a pause of despair in the long-running track record of humanity's success, I was much better able to buy it this time.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't go the full nihilism of, let's say, like Idiocracy or something,
right.
which is just like,
right.
we suck and we're like, let's just punch ourselves in the balls because we're the worst.
Right. It's and that's often with a movie is that we go into with so many preconceived notions that we have to see and then go back to understand where things are going. I have not seen Ex Machina yet. I look forward to seeing it and to being able to discuss that.
Hey,
I hear very good things.
Can you and me throw up a little pinky action here? Like, I will go. I don't think I'll even take my kids or anything. I think I'm just going to go. I think I'll ride my bike out on at noon and go see a matinee.
I'll ride my bike out too.
I'm going to walk on my hand.
No, but what's funny is. I'm in that weird phase where enough people have said that they really dig. To be honest, I'm hearing a lot of talk like Interstellar, where it's like, mm-hmm. well, there was this thing or that thing that I didn't like, but in general, this did things that I did not expect to ever see in a movie, and it felt big, and it makes me want to see it before I have anything else ruined.
Let's do our homework is to all of us see it by before next week.
Yeah, I'll see it. I was actually trying to when I was starting, I was trying to actually organize with Brett to go see it on Monday. But it reminds me of Hard Candy in a way, like, hey, let's tell the most interesting story we can inside one house. You know, like it seems as if it's a fairly confined kind of thing. Now, Hard Candy obviously goes in a very different direction than I am assuming this movie goes.
To be honest, I'm not familiar with Hard Candy. Can you tell me?
Well, let's save this for next week.
Okay, yep.
All yeah, right. sure.
Don't
anyway,
tell me.
But it looks really rad. Can I bring it back to Kip Thorne, though, real quick, as
sure.
we get into your interaction with him? You mentioned the contemporaries of, like, Feynman and Hawking. Where is that, like, that sweet spot of just, like, knows enough to be respected in a peer-reviewed field, yet is charismatic and human enough to not only explain it to real people, but make it really fun and captivating?
Well, and there's also, I think there's the third element, is do you want to be that guy at a dinner party, which it sounds like Kip Thorne can be, and he's the one who can explain all this to Christopher Nolan and so on, or are you somebody who wants to speak to tell that story 2,000 people at a time, like a Carl Sagan or a Neil deGrasse Tyson?
I would say that in that spectrum, there's still a spectrum there because you have, you know, Sagan, you know, did a lot of great original research, and then became a popularizer. Where, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, sort of his focus was on being a popularizer,
right?
You know, and not, you know. He's done science, but not
his talents is to synthesize the existing research and data.
You know, and you know, there was no discussion of wormholes or anything like that at dinner. I did not, and I, you know, as much as I was dying to say, like, well, what do you think about this NASA thing? What do you think about this stuff? You know, I'm aware of one that he probably
ask him about the EM drive that didn't come up.
I just, you know, I know that he gets this sort of stuff all the time, and I'm also afraid of the fact that I'll come across as a pedantic because
plus also it's like it's one of those things where it's. I don't know. It's the elephant in the room where it's like, don't ask him the one thing. Like whenever I meet somebody famous or that I respect deeply, in my heart, I'm like, ask him anything except for what everyone else asks him.
Yeah, and you know the advantage is we're at the Magic Castle, so you know Maurice and I could show them the castle and talk about magic and talk about what we did and what that was, you know, which was apparently they seemed very interested in that or really good at humoring me. What was really cool was one of the hosts there. Maurice stops him and says, do you know anything about physics or science? The guy goes, no, not really. The only physicist I know of is Kip Thorne, you know. And Maurice says, oh, would you like to meet him? You go, oh, yeah. And Maurice points, and there's Kip Thorne sitting down watching a magic trick.
Oh, that's amazing. Like, oh, my God, wow.
He came up to it later, and, like, you know, like, there's, like, a no photograph policy at the castle except for, like, in, like, the lobby or whatever. And he's like, hey, could I – think it would be okay if I got a photo with him? I'm like, absolutely it would be okay with him if you did. And we had several people come up and were just excited. They went to see Jonathan Pendragon's show, and Jonathan Pendragon had performed for him before and was excited. And it's not that we fully grasp what the hell it is that he does, but there's this, we know that this is fascinating and he's asking interesting questions, and we love the fact that there's somebody, it's like somebody who climbs Everest or somebody who's doing this stuff. It's like, that's amazing that you can do that. I can't, you can, and I'm glad to hear that.
So, real quick, I just got your email, and what I thought you wanted me to toss to was a different thing that we needed to tweet out. And
yeah,
make
so there's
about.
Two things I have. One is Dave Kaplan, who's a friend of ours who's another great physicist, who's a guy who does really good research. He's Large Hadron Collider and wanted to put together a documentary to share people with what he's doing, but really is a scientist. He's not a guy trying to be, I want to be the public face of science. No, he's a guy that wants to do good science. He wants to tell people. He's got a video that he did for Quanta magazine where he explains what happens if you fall inside of a black hole. And we'll put the link up for our people. But then on the subject of feeling good about humanity and things, and we'll be able to overcome, I sent Brian a video that maybe will change everything.
Well, and what's funny, now that I'm looking at it, that means that there's a third thing, because all I want to do is show the incomplete painting that I saw today. Should we hold off on that?
It's already posted on the Facebook.
Oh, is it already posted?
Apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then real quick, as an advertisement
Bryce,
for the Facebook.
Bryce, let us know that this was posted to our Facebook page. Just look up Weird Things Podcast on Facebook, and you will see this, which is apparently still
a work in progress.
But this is like, it is in the touching up phase. It is.
That wasn't what I was talking about at all.
I know. But this was all I wanted to talk about. So I wanted to get this out of the way right now. We are looking at what looks like an oil or acrylic painting of Andrew, Brian, and Justin making their way through a swamp, a magical swamp, where in the background a SpaceX rocket is taking off. A serpent is about to eat Justin, who's busy playing with his lightsaber. In the background, we also see Sasquatch running a fuck. And I believe it was Bonnie that noticed the house key or the room key to room 707 or room 77 that we did our investigation.
Thanks for your faith, guys, that I'm about to get eaten. Like, I think I'm ready to execute a beautiful spinning backhand.
Yeah, you're kind of facing the wrong way there. So
no,
I come from the back. You know, like I get all that torque.
Well, I can't wait to see the finished one. I can't wait to plug who it was that put this together. Thank you, Bryce, for finding that.
That is Leal. L-L-A-E-L.
L-L. Oh, there we go. L-L-A-E-L. All right, yeah. We'll get more details. We got to hear the rest of the story on this one. All right, you want to talk about the black hole? What happens when you fall in?
Well, there's a video. I just uploaded it to our Weird Things Facebook page, which you can check out, which is David Kaplan, the physicist, the guy who started the documentary Particle Fever, explains that. We don't have to listen to it or watch it. I just want to push that out there. Okay. I want to get to the other video I sent.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here, let's see what the spectrum is. Like, watch just a few seconds of this. This is like a breakdown of what happens theoretically if you fall into a black hole.
Hello. I am David Kaplan, and I am not an expert. But I hope in this series to learn as much as possible and explain it to you the best way I can.
So awesome. It's like a two-minute video talking about falling into a black hole. Everything's slickly produced. And as we do on the Weird Things podcast, we want to give you the spectrum of that's the highest end, most polished, the most elegant type of weird thing that we should all aspire to learn about. On the other end,
don't say what this is. I want you guys to watch
exactly.
This.
Just tell me what you're looking at.
Okay. Oh my God.
All right, I'm positive. All right, Justin, describe what you've seen so far.
Your feelings, just your feelings.
So this looks to be a bear.
Or just say what it is instead of.
What was that?
Or just say what it is if you want to do that.
Well, I mean, like, but to say it is a bear is really like betraying what's magical.
Yeah, Andrew, we got to have a conversation about, you know, having a poker face when someone stumbles on the right answer. You don't have to reveal that they're right.
I admit that I like to get the emotional response before, and then the go from the color.
No. Yeah. Yeah, but that's just it. You show this to me, I do not believe it's a bear. I believe it's a guy in a bear costume.
Oh, that's exactly what I was getting to. That we've heard this a million times. Not a million times. But I think we've covered it on this podcast before, of people who wear bear costumes to affect the social landscape of captive animals. And that's what I thought for sure this was, because the bear is walking in such good posture, especially for an animal. It looks so unnatural.
Well, and it's I'm just going to keep replaying it over and over again. I guess because of the nature of bear's musculature and skeleture, it's sort of hunched backwards with its back arched and its belly out.
It's dad bod.
Yeah, it does have a dad bod, and it just is just like walking along, looking left and right. Like, wait,
I watched this, and I'm like, it's been a lie. It's been a lie all these thousands of years. Bears can do this. They've been putting us on. This is what bears do when we're not around. That they're like, oh, humans, get on all fours. Rrr. That they're like just another tribe of simians or something. It is disturbing. I'm fearful. I've seen a bear ride a bear. I was at a circus once with a bear that could ride a motorcycle. They have been holding out on us, guys.
I'll tell you what.
There is a moment when he turns to look at the camera, and it's just like, "Hey, what's up?" Like there is such a casualness to it.
Well, and by the way, the fact that a bear can ride a motorcycle just makes me all the more frustrated that I spent so much time today trying to teach my 7-year-old to ride a bicycle, and she just couldn't be bothered.
She had bear cubs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, literally, just at least, you know, pedal. That's all you have to do. Just keep pedaling. She's like, I don't know. Yeah, let's take a break, Dad.
So if you do a YouTube search for walking bear.
There's a few of them. I'm looking at them right now.
We had one a while ago. We had one where, like, there's the one, the New Jersey bear, that's strutting along and looking in trash cans. Oh, God. You wake up in the morning, you see this walking across.
Okay,
this is
all
a
right.
Neighborhood.
Now, tell me this. I'm going to assume that the number of Sasquatch sightings that are actually bears walking on their hind feet has to be non-zero. Like, I would bet.
I'm saying 100%.
Well, I'm saying, like, yeah, there's definitely at least once. I mean, because, come on, tell me. You look out the window, you see that? That's a Sasquatch.
Well, but beyond whether or not Sasquatch sightings are bears walking on their feet, one bear walking on its feet makes Sasquatch sightings so much less important or interesting to me.
Yes.
Like, because that's the amazing part of Sasquatch, is you see an animal like this walking in a certain way. And now that I know that things that I see all the time, or at least far more often than I've ever seen a Sasquatch or some unknown cryptid can walk like that, I'm like, whatever, done it, seen it.
The bear video that has much of America talking. And so we wanted to know, is it the real deal? ABC's Ron Claiborne in the neighborhood.
See for yourself. That expert tell ABC News is not someone in a bear suit. They say it really is a bear, standing on his hind legs and walking just comfortably and smoothly as a person.
I think he walks better than you, Don.
In your face, Don. Eat that. Holy cow.
Guys, I'm telling you, I mean, that's like you get the one in the New Jersey just walking through a neighborhood. And so it's a thing they can do.
Well, and plus also think about how deeply that affects you, and understand we live in the internet age and the photography age where at least this guy has photographic evidence and still is defensive about it. Think about you're the one dude who thinks he's seen a dragon, you know, and you're trying to explain to everyone that it's a real thing.
So my theory is bears can do this all the time. They're way smarter than they let on, and they're just waiting. Oh, God.
I mean, how long do you think, a bear could just, like, walk into a 7-Eleven?
Okay, first of all, do you see the side shuffle he does? He gets up to the curb, looks over, sees something, and then just sort of steps, Like, you would think he would go down to four legs, but instead, he's just sort of twisting.
And is he walking
sideways
through the neighborhood on his hind legs because he sees people doing this and he's trying not to attract attention?
You think it's animal mimicry?
Because as soon as he gets to the forest, the edge, he's back to being a bear and he's crawling away. But he's like, oh, I know how to hide from these people. Just walk on your hind legs.
Dude, do you think
Just a person walking along. Hello, neighbor. You know?
Well, also, this is kind of terrifying because isn't, like, a bear on its hind legs, like, the most aggressive posture a bear could do because it has, like, a quicker access to, like, knock you down and eat you? Like, is this bear in battle mode?
I you know what? I'm going to assume so. That's why I'm going to shoot to run. Aim phasers. Forget the hell out of there. That's what I do. The moment I see anything.
I'm putting my house up for sale right now.
Are you too close to the bears?
Oh, there are bears here. Yeah. They walk on hind legs.
Man.
Dude, that bear's a killing machine.
And they're smart. Like, bears are another animal that, like, you know, measuring their intelligence, that they surprise us by how smart they are.
So there's this program on, I want to say, like, Discovery Family or something, because the kids are enjoying cable while we still have it before I cut the cord again. This whole conceit is, okay, absent of the production side of things, the conceit is, oh, my gosh, look, it's a young orangutan hanging out and hugging on a young rhinoceros. Look, it's a dog balanced on the head of a hippo. It's blah, 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 blah. And it's like I'm looking, and all I can think about is production now. I'm thinking, like, okay, they got to be young enough that they don't know that they're supposed to eat each other yet. And they got to be puppies on there. And I'm thinking somebody pitched this show, and their business plan was, we'll take species that normally eat each other and just sort of throw them together and see what cute footage we can get. I'm going to guess that not 100% of the footage shot was of them having jolly times together as cool cross-species buds.
You know, I don't know, because unless they happen naturally, those usually dead animals on the set of television shows tend to become scandals pretty quick.
No, I mean, this is found footage stuff of like, oh, look, we have a bear and a kitten that like to play with each other and, you know, and so it's not the producers are necessarily going out there and shooting. And it might be correct, like some of it's more.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe somebody in the chat can find me a link to it. But it looks
awfully. What is it
awfully,
called? Do we know?
I don't know. Like My Crazy Animal Friend or something like that. Like my naughty, haunted Capulet relationship with a warring tribe. Remember, like, that I should not possibly love.
Many domesticated animals, like when you're talking about domesticated animals, part of what makes them domesticated is their ability to play with others or to interact with others. Sheep and sheep dogs. You know, you have, you know, most kinds of dogs can interact with many, many other animals because, you know, when you put them in a farm, you put them in an environment and they're like, they look at any other animal like, it's part of the pack. I'm going to be leader of the pack. I'm going to tell them what to do.
All right, here it is. It's called My Dog's Crazy Animal Friends. And it premiered, I guess, last month on Discovery. But here's a dog balanced on the head of an elephant.
Believe it. I'm with it.
No. I mean, I'm not saying these are fake.
No. I mean, I think that those two, they're both. Those are, if it's like an Indian, they're both things that are can be to a degree domesticated.
All right. Well, here's a tiger.
Yeah, tiger cub.
And a dog that wants. Okay, now here we go. Now all they're doing is they're rolling cameras, and they're taking two species that normally would eat each other in the wild. But they're
young. I mean, the dog will play with anything, and the tiger cub is a cub.
Well, and they are both on leashes, right? Like, you know, if things get real, you know, there is.
But like, how scared are you as a handler during this, ma'am?
You know, I'm going to take a wild guess that the actual first time that they let them interact was probably not on camera.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think that again, they're both cubs, and I mean, they're both. Or the tiger cub, that phase, you know, that's when they're cute and cuddly, and people can play and interact them. You know, it's like chimpanzees. A baby chimpanzee is adorable and sweet, and then they hit a phase where they are genital-eating monsters that will bite off your face.
Bite off your fingers. It's the fingers that terrify me. It's
the
always...
genitals, me. Dean Kamen can make me a robo-hand. He ain't terrifying. Doing the robo-other thing yet. not that I know of.
Maybe that's the next Weird Things.
Yeah. So, animals are terrifying. That's our answer. Gentlemen?
Yeah.
I have a proposal for you.
Yeah? Is it that people go to patreon.com/weirdthings?
Yeah, that was it.
Listen, if you want to support our further animal research, then please head on over to patreon.com/weirdthings, where we are able to not only continue to do this podcast every single week for you, but also bring you other content like After Things, which happens after Weird Things, and gain the employment of our fearless producer, Neshcom.
Heck yeah.
I'm going to propose something we could make possible with more funding, guys.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
Wait, just so we're clear, a vote for Weird Things is a vote for animal research.
Yeah, and this thing I'm sending you both. What... we need, you know, I think that we talk a lot about, you know, how the world can function, our ideas for things, and how we could perhaps help other people, you know. And I came across this website, and it's they're called the Fraternal Order of Police. It's a law enforcement agency.
Yeah.
They have uniforms, they have guns, They call themselves the oldest police agency there is. And you can look at their website right now. You can see what they're up to. And I like this idea. I think this is a very interesting idea because, you know, we have some suspicion right now with law enforcement, some warranted, some of it probably blown way the hell out of proportion. I think that, you know... I think that it's an interesting idea of, you know, what if we created our own Weird Things police modeled after this fraternal Masonic Fraternal Order of Police.
Okay,
here we go. That's the big buzzword up front, because I think you hear a lot about the Fraternal Order of Police.
Yeah.
I don't know if they are the same as the Masonic Fraternal Order of Police, because the Fraternal Order of Police seems like the line to enter is you are a police person. The Masonic Fraternal Order of Police seems like a sub ring within that secret society.
Well, it's, you know, their uniforms are kind of cool, and they've made some appearances in public, and, you know, and have actually spoken on the platforms with other police, and they take themselves very seriously, and
look. All right, I don't want to cast aspersions here. I don't want to make anyone nervous. But yes, when you go to the website, the main thing you see is the United States flag, and you see a badge, and you see the word police, 001, which I assume is their rank. But then you scroll down, and it says Masonic Fraternal Police, and there's some decorative, cloth work with a little bitty skull and crossbones, which is a bit odd. That's not necessarily what I expect from the police. And then run on down here, and it says here, oh good, there's kind of an about thing here. It says here, the Masonic Fraternal Organization is the oldest and most respected organization in the quote-unquote world. I would like to point out that they put quotes around the word world.
This world.
Yeah. In what you humans understand to be the world.
Exactly. All right, this is my first like full-on alarm bell going off. The fact we like
it could just be sloppy writing, man. You know, it's the internet. People write sloppy all the time. They put exclamation points and commas where stuff shouldn't be. Sure. Maybe it's just that. Let's
poorly written. Grand masters around various states.
Okay, all right. Listen, man, there's only – unless you are – unless the word flash is after grand master, you know, my hackles get raised.
Grand masters around various states are facing serious safety concerns for their jurisdictions and their family members. The first police department was created by the quote-unquote – Knights Templars, with improper use of apostrophe S, back in 1100 BC.
Yeah, which is an interesting way to date the Knights Templar, which most people would say 1100 AD. Because having Knights Templar 1,100 years before the time of Christ,
they were
defending
Christ's honor before he was born. A thousand years beforehand,
they were defending. Maybe it's a typo. Maybe it's a typo.
And
I
then,
don't know.
As if it's the big reveal, they announce the Masonic Fraternal Order, the Masonic Fraternal Police Department (MFPD) is the Knights Templars.
Dun dun dun.
Asked the difference between the Masonic Fraternal Police Department and other police departments, the answer is simple for us. We were here first. We were born into this organization, and our bloodlines go deeper than an application. This is more than a job.
This is a real red pen situation here.
We're not, quote-unquote, sovereign citizens, nor do we condone terrorist activities, sovereign citizens, or clandestine. Also open, this thing was written by a 12-year-old.
Well, Brian, it seems as if these defenders of truth and justice and the Knights Templar creed might have gotten into a little bit of trouble.
Now, you know, whenever you watch movies, comic books and stuff like that, and you have organizations of people to fight, decide they're going to defend stuff, it was really good that they established the Avengers as an initiative of S.H.I.E.L.D., a government agency, which then, of course, turned out to be an agency run entirely by bad guys.
Mm.
In a delightful plot twist that just did absolutely nothing to further the story.
It's like they always say, power's awesome. Ultimate power, also awesome. Even better.
Even more. And so, you're going to have, jurisdictional issues over stuff like this. And, when you predate the actual Knights Templar by 2,000 years by their own reasoning, there might be some questions and stuff. And it seems that the Masonic Fraternal Police Department, the MFPD, ran into a little bit of trouble.
Now, wait a minute. I don't see anything about their trouble on this website.
Brian, that's because you need to go to the Daily Mail where, Andrew, do you want me to just read the headline? Or?
Go for it.
Aide for California Attorney General arrested for, quote, pretending to be a police officer with the Masonic Fraternal Police Department after cops seize fake badges, uniforms, weapons, and patrol cars.
Uh-oh.
SpaghettiOs.
So that's why – all right, question. Did this website exist before or after the legal troubles?
This is a before problem.
Okay.
Yeah, no, this is a thing that exists, and then somebody got popped trying to play cop too hard.
Wow. Is this in the United States or just
Which, by the way, here, let me just read the lead of this Daily Mail.
Wait, hold on real quick. I do want to point out the curious choice of having a slideshow on the front page with two slides on the slideshow, both of which being the same picture of the flag.
Yeah, I think someone just thought that they needed to upload it again because maybe the back end of the website isn't what it could be. Now, Brian, how would you describe the writing on this, the Masonic Fraternal Police Department's website?
I would say sub-juvenile. Not
just in terms of its intent. Strong, right?
Well, yeah, no, it's assertive. Would that be a good way to put it?
Well, I don't think that Ted Thornhill of the Daily Mail Online quite shares that sentiment. His lead here, an aide for California Attorney General Kamala Harris and two others have been arrested for claiming to represent the Masonic Fraternal Police Department, a fake organization.
Well, hold on. They're clearly a real organization. They were formed 2,000 years before the actual Knights Templar.
Brandon Keel, 36, was arrested last week on suspicion of impersonating a police officer along with David Henry, 46, and Tonette Hayes, 56, after Los Angeles authorities discovered they'd set up the fraudulent police department complete with weapons, badges, uniforms, and patrol cars.
I mean, look, are you going to say that right to the face of a Masonic Knights Templar? He'll pull out a sword and kill you, and holy fire will erupt out the back of your skull. Oh,
and also, by the way, you thought that might have been a typo, the 1100 BC?
Yeah.
Not so. California police were told by the MFPD that it has been in existence for 3,000 years.
Well, I stand corrected.
They are down with the fact that the Knights Templar has been around 1,000 years before Christ.
What is this clandestine list? They've got a section on their website. By the way, just to show that they're on the up and up, they have lodges, police reports, complaints, clandestine list. When you click on that, it says protected, clandestine list. This content is password protected. To view it, please enter your password below. Dude, should we try to hack this?
I think you should generally just try to type password.
Okay, all right. Password. Nope. Okay, hold on. Here we go. How about
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Christ bodyguard. 420. Christ bodyguard 420. Nope.
YOLO swag.
All right, you got YOLO swag. YOLO swag. Cops. YOLO swag. Cops. Nope, I got nothing.
This apparently operating in California here. These guys are popped in Southern California, but it says there on the website, we support all law enforcement agencies. Our mission is to preserve the integrity, honor, legacy of our founding fathers, Masonic organizations, all grandmasters, and their constitutions and bylaws.
Well, guys, let's not blow this out of proportion. I am sure that this is probably an isolated incident that, it's very absurd and it's very, ridiculous. And it's not something that you're likely to hear happen again in, California or whatever.
No, okay. I mean, you got this organization. It's already there. It would be hard for me to think that this would spread further than maybe an isolated little thing.
The idea. Let's create a bunch of fake uniforms. Let's call ourselves some sort of unit, and let's get other people to join it.
Holy crap! I just realized when you click contact us, it shows my old neighborhood when I was staying down there in Los Angeles.
Like, yeah, Brian, you missed your chance. I sent you another link because we have a problem here in L.A. We're the land of actors and pretenders, and we may have mentioned this prior. There was a wonderful scam, and you ever go to some of these towns like Little Italy and stuff, and you see these posters and these paintings and the people their Civic Day parades and people have neat uniforms and other stuff. You'd see that in Chinatown, too. You'd see people wearing uniforms that were not, commie Chinese, and not
communist. Chinese. Come on.
Chinese. Yeah, they were, American, but slightly different.
Well, Andrew, there might have been a reason for that. This coming from Reuters, Chinese man arrested for creating fake army unit in scam. Now, you might say, well, what does this have to do with him being Chinese? A Chinese man was arrested on Tuesday for creating a fake U.S. Army unit and selling immigrants on the idea that joining the squad was a path to citizenship, authorities said. Yu Ping Deng, 51, allegedly gave his quote-unquote recruits – listen, even if they're fake, he did recruit them – military uniforms, had them parade in a Los Angeles suburb, and took them to a decommissioned USS Midway aircraft carrier, which is a museum in San Diego.
Oh, my God. And so he would do some kind of ritual at that point to say, congratulations, you're totally in the army.
I guess so. Deng charged more than 100 fellow Chinese nationals a fee between $300 and $450 to join the fake army unit, according to the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office. Here's a little word to the wise. In general, the way we do it in this country, if you are willing to sacrifice your life for the United States of America, usually it is you who gets the check, not the army.
Yeah.
So, guys, and the sad part is that there are people who desperately want to become American citizens and would very likely very much enrich our country, and we would be grateful to have them.
This dude is a monster.
Be victimized, and
dude is an absolute menace.
Unlike the Masonic thing is a thing hey guys, you want to wear cop uniforms and carry guns and maybe make a that could maybe even be a plot for a movie. These other people I think are just sincere and but the point is the lesson that we should take away from this, I think the real important lesson is we need to create our own paramilitary force.
Oh, my God, in the hugest way. And it needs to be based on words that have, like, massive amounts of legitimacy. Can we be the Old Norse morality patrol or something?
Yeah, that doesn't sound racist at all.
Yeah. but no, all right.
So, okay, you jest.
Sorry, citizens of Ferguson, the Old Norse morality patrol is here.
All right. Yeah, laugh it up, guys. All right. Let's say one of our listeners, one of our fans, can we have thousands of people out there who are part of this group, part of this club, okay? Let's say that one of them listens to this podcast. Oh, guys, that was so hilarious. They open up their door and they see a goddamn bear walking on two legs across the street. Oh, they call up the cops. Hey, cops, I just saw a bear walking on two legs. Ha, ha, ha. Click. Who are you going to call?
I mean, the believers, is that what we're called? we're gonna call the Advocates for Humanity, Humanity First.
Hey guys, like our creed. Some lights in the sky, and I've woken up with strange markings on my body. I tell people they don't know what to do. I need to be protected for when they come again.
I think that they need a representative. They need somebody that's going to figure this stuff out when everybody else turns their back. But Brian, what you're missing here, both these stories co-opted something that already is known as a power structure that has a little bit of built-in legitimacy to it. The police and the army. You can put whatever modifiers you want in or around that, and it will be more than just for you to say a group of people with uniforms.
Okay, all right. I'm feeling
paramilitary, guys.
Do you have another angle?
How could that be misconstrued by the FBI?
I don't know. I feel like Andrew's leading to something here.
What's that?
I feel like you're leading to something here. Is there? Do you have a name?
No, I don't have a name. I'm just arranging the kindle on the fire and waiting for somebody to strike the match.
All right, so I feel like we could even really go kind of cross-platform, like call ourselves some kind of like fire brigade or something.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, nobody's nabbed. Hold on. What about lifesavers or feel me out here.
I think Nestle, whoever owns the Lifesaver candy, might have a problem with us patrolling around.
Oh, that's fine. I was thinking. Oh yeah, no. First of all, nobody wants to hire the weird patrol. You're gonna get a bunch of weird people.
I think we take it to our listeners.
No, I think patrol is good. First of all, look, the only thing more outrageous than trying to get away with legitimizing weird patrol would be if we like opened up a fast food restaurant and sold franchises with the name Doctors Associates, so that even though none of us are doctors, but people would see the word doctor and assume our food is food. By the way,
I thought that actually was started by a group of doctors who were looking for investment property.
Maybe so, but Subway Incorporated, who make fine sandwiches, definitely riding the word doctors.
No, but I mean, legitimately speaking, and I could be way out of line here, was that some of the biggest franchise owners in anything tend to be doctors and dentists and people, medical practices, and it wasn't they weren't owning Subway, they were the biggest acquiring the franchises. And it wasn't a how do we subvert it originally.
Maybe not. Look, I'm saying
Dr. Pepper. Where'd he get his medical?
Yeah, doesn't
Am I the only one brave enough to ask these questions?
I'll tell you what. Why don't we change all of our first name to some kind of honorarium? I call dibs on General. My name is General Brushwood.
Hey, listen, that's what we did with the bird. That's why he's Dr. Bird. You know, it brings a little respect to the
Wait
room.
A minute. The rescue snakes. Can we be the rescue snakes?
Oh, rescue's good, right? Emergency.
Wait,
emergency
rescue patrol. Rescue. What about rescue patrol?
I'm just going to say, by the way, the founders, the CEO of Doctors Associates, Dr. Frederick DeLuca, MD, Dr. Peter Buck, PhD, So, Brian, how dare you disparage the fine, fine foods of
Look,
Subway?
Hey, man, you're going to talk bad about me? You're talking
Colonel Sanders? He fought for your freedom.
Yeah, right. Look, man, you're going to talk bad about me. You're going to talk bad to all of the rescue patrol. Look, the rescue patrol is just here.
Weren't those like mice in a Disney movie?
Those are the rescue rangers.
No, well, actually, it's the rescuers were the mice. Rescue rangers were chipmunks.
It's a weird patrol because it's weird things. If you're embarrassed about being part of weird things, that's your problem.
Look, I've been meaning to bring this up for a while. If you want to start a cult, you can't have weird in the cult. Like that's
we're not a cult. Who said anything about a cult?
Okay, whatever.
No cult here at all.
I'm just saying. Come on, man.
Everybody, listen to me. This is not a cult. You are free to choose whatever you want.
Yeah. Plus, also, look, there's Catholics in our cult. There's Jewish people in our cult. It's got to be Rescue Patrol. WT Rescue Patrol.
Well, then why not the EMTs, Brian? We'll table this for another
EMTs?
Episode.
Yeah, we should be EMTs too. The emergency medical patrol team, EMPTs.
We deal with unusual, Brian. There's times you call the cops, times you call firemen. You're looking at a bear on 2 feet.
Wait a minute, though. Do we know exactly what the Masonic Order of Police what they were really into? Because it seems like they were just that they could have been investigating, all sorts of crazy weird things.
They may have been helping Hellboy, fight like demon dragons and stuff.
Exactly. So, they don't seem like in that story, the one thing that we didn't see is like, oh, dude pulled over somebody and tried to conduct a road stop. And so that's why he was convicted for being impersonating a police officer. For all we know, these guys, they were doing what we want to do. And they just called themselves the police.
This website is fake as hell. You go there. And it's like there's all these things that look like they're going to link. First of all, they have a slideshow that only shows the same picture twice. Then
Brian,
it's like,
saying it's sketchy and half-baked?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like their plan?
I mean, anything you click on just takes you back to the main thing unless you have – and then
– you're a 3,000-year-old organization. Maybe you're not up on the latest things.
All right, real quick. Their main menu says like 7 things.
Oh, none of it clicks through. I tried.
Oh, dude. No. But
what's the clandestine list?
Yeah, no. Grand Lodge's police reports is on the main list. Complaints, clandestine list, all 33 states, and contact us. Every single one of them you click on, and it says protected.
It's 33 states. Remember, they made this thing back when there were 33 states.
There's contact us. MFPD, you click on it, and it's the same thing. Can we join? Can we send somebody in undercover?
Yeah, I think there are a few openings, Brian.
Yeah, I think a few of them got picked off by the
real police.
The powers that be meant to erode the power of the Knights Templar.
I'm typing in the password, totally real cops. 555. Nope, that's not it either. This could take a while.
How about this? Send in your names for our new paramilitary organization to Justin Robert Young.
Paranormal military. Let's make that clear.
Oh, paranormal military organization. Send it in to JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put weird things in the subject line, and we will read them next week on this show.
Speaking of reading stuff, do we want to go back and revisit our UFO doc?
You want to just pop in real quick, just see somebody who went in and found something.
Yeah, I'm just saying as you know, we've been collecting all of the best of the what was the name of the website with all the UFOs?
Best of the MUFON.
MUFON. Do you pick a number between 1 and 9, Justin?
I'm gonna go with 5.
3,000.
5. Here we go. This is from Sean in Seattle, who says, I live in the Pacific Northwest. I toured the Ape Cave as a scout several times and recently took my 6-year-old there on a camping trip, not to disparage the bravery of others who spelunk its depths. I've walked on beaches on islands of the Puget Sound, and that light up with every step, and later I saw what can only be described as a UFO from the same beach. But this week, I walked into a barn not far from Seattle and saw this. See attached. I got the picture as quickly as I could. Poor lighting, but not fuzzy. And if I click on this photo, wait a minute. Andrew, what is it you call it when you trigger warning. Get ready for a trigger warning.
Andrew, describe what you see.
Well, I mean, my initial reaction is there is a moment in the movie Signs, which I actually really enjoyed, where you have all this buildup before you see the alien. Then your first shot of the alien, your first sign of the alien is like this footage of this thing walking past a window in like a birthday party in like Rio de Janeiro or something else. And it was so alien and so weird, like the whole theater went, ah, like that. And that's my reaction to this. Now, there will be some that say that it looks suspiciously two-dimensional. I say that's because it's from another dimension. Duh. We see a silhouette, a scary silhouette. It's somewhere between a man and one of those bears we saw walking on two legs.
I was about to say it.
Also, go back.
And let me just decide. Yeah, you took your daughter to the ape cave. That doesn't say anything about my bravery, more about how bad of a parent you are.
Okay. Well, number one, I think this is that was the MUFON thing, right? That was just a guy who wrote about his experience. Does this thing look like it's wearing hot pants to anyone?
I totally see that, dude.
I heard Spanx.
Looks like he's about to go straight down to Venice Beach, start posing.
It's got like the most daisiest of dukes.
Ah, the daisiest of dukes.
No, so this looks, I don't think anybody could really qualify this in any way. It is a silhouette of something that looks humanistic at the very least, and with suspiciously bulging muscles in kind of all the right places.
He's got the profile of Thanos.
Yeah, a big, very pronounced either beard or jaw.
Also with, the hot pants of Thanos.
Yeah. The horse in the background could care less.
Yeah, that's the funny part. You would think that any of them would be bothered, but...
Well, because it's natural. Bigfoot's, it's two-dimensional, too. We don't know what the horse can see.
That is a horse. Jeez. It took me a second to really piece that together. I thought that was like... I genuinely thought that was like a... open-air cafeteria inside, like...
I had the same impression, too. It's because of the lighting, the fluorescent lighting and that, but yeah.
It turns out it's just a horse that doesn't give two craps. That's amazing. All right, we're going to keep visiting our UFO stalker doc.
Wow, so this, I mean, I guess we are to assume that this was deployed from a UFO? Like, it's just like, oh, I saw this hot pants wearing cryptid. And
if I was going to make up, I mean, the most logical thing is that they ran out of gas, bro, and also booze. And so somebody was like, screw it, man. I don't care. I'm going to go fix this right now. And came marching out in his underwear after he was having, like, hot interstellar sex. Went sauce him right up. And I bet he went and asked that horse, please take me to
interstellar sex.
Yeah. Please take me to the nearest fuel and booze depot. And when he got no answer, he probably kidnapped the horse.
Oh, wow. So, hold on. Wait, no, this was not a UFO stalker. This is a user submission. This is a Weird Things listener. Sorry.
Like I said, the little jibe towards me about, you know, oh, yeah, I took my child to the cave. Yeah, listen. It's, if you want to risk your child being abducted by aliens and apes and stuff, that's your business, man.
Dude, we're not gonna condone that kind of irresponsible behavior.
I mean, maybe if we had some sort of paranormal military organization, we could intervene.
I mean, the rescue patrol. Yeah, I agree. The rescue patrol should be on it.
Brian, that's nothing special about that.
What are you talking about? That's legit. Who's going to say no?
You do need a little sauce on it. You just need like I like rescue patrol, but I feel like we can spice it up a little bit because that was the Masonic order of fraternal police, right? Like there was a little sauce on top of it. I feel like we can frosting that.
BioCow says we should be WEIRD, the World Existential International Rescue Division.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
I feel like, listen, we got a leader in the clubhouse, but we still want to hear from you. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Weird things in the subject line.
Neshcom says it could be the World Patrolling Rescue, or WPR for short. I mean, you know, just to make it simple on there.
White people rescuers. No, that's wrong. That is... We're for all beings, this dimension and others.
Mm.
All right, guys.
That's what makes us better than all the other beings.
Yeah. No, it's wrong, Brian. Wrong.
No. We're all equal in
yeah.
Zod's eyes.
Picks? You know, you guys want any picks? Anybody got any picks?
Yeah, well, I mentioned Interstellar before, and I guess I'll say Interstellar again. I don't really have anything new. I wish I did.
I am. I think the barrels run dry. Let me see if I can find something.
All right, I will go with a pick. So, I like Daredevil. I picked that before, and going through a bit of Daredevil draw, and I'm like, I want something episodic to watch. You know, just watch a few episodes and get into it. And my dad said to me, like, have you watched this show? I'm like, no, like, that's a show for teenagers. Why would I watch that thing? And then my brother says, hey, dad says, you know, he's watched this. I watch it. Have you been watching this? I understand. These are, like, law enforcement guys, carry guns, you know, men who have, like, you know, kicked in doors, taken names, and, you know, front line of, you know, my brother's, like, done, like, SWAT stuff, all that, you know.
I mean, yeah, and your dad has been the among the investigators to track down syndicates of killers stuff like that.
Largest RICO act ever as far as going after international criminal organizations, things like that. The kind of stuff you hear described like in comic books or like my dad's been part of like these, you know, inner department, like, you know, DEA, ATF, FBI groups, these task force and stuff like that, all that stuff. And so my dad says, you've been watching Arrow? I'm like, Arrow? Like, yeah, I've been watching Arrow. I'm enjoying it. My brother's like, yeah, I've been watching Arrow, and I'm enjoying it. And I'm like, all right. Like, I don't think it's DC. I love Batman. Some DC stuff I love. I like some DC stuff. And I'm like, Arrow, it's like a CW show. It's like a soap opera. And so I'm like, all right. My dad and my brother, who are far more manly than I will ever be, are recommended. So I watched it. And, like, it's a CW show. But it is a fun show. I've been watching Arrow. I'm like 8 or 9 episodes in. It is very much a soap opera with superheroes and, you know, the connections. You go like, well, that just seems really convenient. But, you know, once you just accept the logic of this comic universe, it's great. And I watched 1 or 2 episodes of The Flash, which everybody raves about. And the success of those two shows, they're now doing another show called like Legends or something like that, which is a crossover show because they've created a, you know, this nice, very popular little universe there. There you go, Legends of Tomorrow. There you get Brandon Ralph, who, you know, gets to play a superhero again. So the Atom. So anyhow, they're certainly doing really well where their movies outside of Batman have had struggled. They've created a really neat product for TV that a lot of people really love and like. And so I've just started watching Arrow, and it's on Netflix streaming. So, you know, if you got a Netflix account, it's free. It's there. So,
yeah, I'll finally, I guess part of the reason I don't really have a pick is because I've been consumed with finishing up Daredevil, which I finally have finished. Have you finished?
Andrew? Me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. And Justin, you still haven't. Okay, so we won't talk about it.
So much.
Daredevil is very, very good. I liked it better than I liked Avengers Age of Ultron. And of course, Game of Thrones continues to be amazing.
Yeah, like my thing on Daredevil is like, it's not like you're going to walk away out of, let's say, Dark Knight or whatever and go, oh my God, this is this or whatever. Or like even like, you know, Captain America, Winter Soldier. But you go for a 13 episode small screen project. It's great. It knocks it out of the park. It does it very, very well. Kingpin's character is the best realized villain we've seen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to play coy for sake of Justin and anyone who hasn't seen it, but there's a fantastic moment of ownership with Kingpin when he sees his role in who he is, and it's really great.
Yeah, so cool. We can leave it at that. Do some after things, unless you got something, Justin.
Real quick plug. Did a spoiler breakdown of Age of Ultron with Scott Johnson.
What is the Age of Ultron, by the way? Did we establish that?
You know, he seems about a day and a half at the point that he dies.
They killed an infant if they won. I don't know. I won't spoil anything there.
It was on the spoiler show. You can look it up on the Frog Pants Network. Me and Scott Johnson, and we kind of did a little fun thing in this one where we just kind of took calls. And What I would like to happen is for that to become more of a regular thing where me and Scott just kind of...
So I like call it just like, hey, what do you think of Age Ultron? Like, I've been talking about it nonstop on this show and that show. And it's like, it's, I don't know. It's like, I've never dated like a woman who was in porn that I know of, you know? And like, hey, do you want to, honey? No, all day. I was all day. Did a gang bang.
All day.
It's just not.
No, it's funny. Okay. I was actually in
a porn
car around the corner from Brian's house doing the spoiler show. And then I rolled right in as Brian is starting Cord Killers, where they do the spoiler in time segment. So I came in and did, you know, that there. And then I get a call from Andrew. It's like, hey, man, want to talk about Age of Ultron? And I'm like, me.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
By the way, I
check that out.
I totally recommend you listen to both of Justin's appearances talking about it, because he brought in a lot of the behind the scenes politics that I was not aware of, talking about Joss Whedon's lack of pleasure with the way everything was shaking out with Disney and Marvel.
Yeah, have we talked about it? Do we want to talk about Age of Ultron?
Do we want to get? We do after things. Let's do.
All right. Yep.
All right. This is where we end this show, and then we're going to do a little podcast called After Things, which is After Things. Sometimes we talk about, you know, advice and being a creative. Sometimes we just talk about media stuff. It's a little bit broader topics. Don't know what to tell you what it'll be, but it'll be after. But this has been weird.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.